In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The flagship station for New York Yankees baseball. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Geo coming live to the Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We were just talking about how disappointed we were in Chris McMonagle, host of Yankees Hot Stove here on WFAN during the overnight hours.
And he set the world on fire last year.
Like, and you're not exaggerating.
I'm not. I know I'm not. And that's why I was so proud of what he did, because he could have said Babe Ruth, which many Yankee fans feel. He didn't play against any minority players. And he also could have said Aaron Judge, who's in the midst of yet another great season. But he didn't do that.
He didn't do that. Now, Fleegs, you work the overnight with McMonagle. Do I remember this correctly, that a Japanese baseball reporter like reached out to C-Mac to get it, to like talk to him about this?
I think something along those lines. A reporter or a news station there, whatever it was. Shortly after this video went out, I texted Izzo, hey, go back and grab this. He sent it out, and within a day or two, I think he had a Japanese media request.
Now, you said, go back and grab this. Why?
The video, because this was a big take, and I think it spurred from what you guys said, the Babe Ruth. So, all right, here's Mr. Yeah. Yankee Hot Stove. He's not saying that the Yankee is the greatest player of all time. It is right. Clear. Shohei Ohtani, not just best hitter of all, best baseball player, not just that he's seen, of all time.
And he was screaming and yelling it.
He's very passionate about it.
With the passion that is required to get your point across.
If you watch the video, it's great. Like when he says he's not just two players, or he's one, not two. He's holding up the fingers. Like he's putting on he cared about this point.
He did. So before we bring in C-Mac one more time, let's take a listen to him last summer talking about Ohtani being the greatest baseball player he's ever seen.
You're saying that Ohtani already in, what, 3-4 years is the undisputed greatest baseball player of all time?
He's playing two positions. He's two players in one. Mm-hmm. He's a quarterback who leads the league in touchdown passes, and then he plays defensive end and leads the league in sacks. He's not just fairly good at either. He's the best at both of them.
But Ken Griffey Jr. did so much more.
He didn't throw a single pitch in his whole career. He never struck anybody out.
He did things.
No, he didn't. He didn't do this. He didn't do this.
Yeah, he was a much better defender than Ohtani.
No, much better defender. He pitched the complete game. How do you defend that?
All right, so one more time before I welcome in C-Mac. This morning, Jerry Recco asked Chris McMonagle.
McMonagle, best baseball player you ever saw, aside from Aaron Judge.
Barry Bonds.
Explain this to me, C-Mac. Explain it.
Yeah, what's going on, fellas? How are you?
God, we're very disappointed in you this morning.
Yeah, I could tell that. Well, listen, first of all, Boomer, I'm very happy to hear that you're so proud of me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I am.
And I do want to note that even in this answer, I did not give a Yankee. So there's also that. But no, this was, you got to understand, I'm sitting in the control room, kind of listening. They're having a discussion about hitting. They're talking about who's the best home run hitter. I got Eddie saying that it's Reggie Jackson. Like, I thought we were talking specifically about hitters. The best hitter I've ever
seen. Chris, come on, man.
Come on.
Listen to this again.
Weak.
Play the Jerry thing one more time.
McGonagall, best baseball player you ever saw, aside from Aaron Judge.
Barry Bonds.
I mean, come on.
He's talking about hitters. I know the words he
used. He said baseball player.
That's exactly what he said. But we were having that conversation, and the whole thing with the best hitter we've seen with Barry Bonds has come up a bunch. That's what I meant. I still firmly believe the greatest baseball player we have ever seen, since someone decided to throw a ball and someone decided to pick up a stick and swing at it, is no one's ever played the game of baseball better than Ohtani.
All right, so in a different situation where they're not talking about hitters, whatever, and you're just asked this question in a vacuum, McGonagall, best baseball player you've ever seen.
Shohei Ohtani.
All right, thank God.
Oh, last 2 years, Shohei Ohtani is the best baseball player of all time.
Yeah, he had us totally confused. You're okay, though, right? I mean, you're mentally cognitive. You're all right. Everything's good with you. I mean,
yeah, kind of. Yeah, I don't know what time it is, and I'm taking a step away from being dad with the kids for a second, but dealing with all the screaming I already walked into. But yes, I'm perfectly normal. I was under the impression we were talking about hitters.
Okay,
that conversation.
All right, fine. I mean, I'll give you a pass because I know when you get closer to 5 o'clock, your brain starts to shut down.
Yes,
it was very, very clear what Jerry was asking, so that's why I was shocked. And by the way, Jerry never
texted that conversation.
Yeah, and this is the other thing that, and I'm going to bring since we did this now, I'm going to bring this up to Jerry.
Yeah,
Jerry does never in these conversations brings up Shohei Ohtani or Mike Trout. And there's a few years of Mike Trout in there that you could make a case. We're talking pitching, hitting, everything. He'll never bring those guys up. And he says that because he didn't see them because they're on the West Coast. But yet then also says that Ken Griffey Jr. was the greatest baseball player he ever saw prior to Aaron Judge. And his prime years were in Seattle.
Right.
So I got to ask him that. I got problems with everybody this morning.
Yeah, no, Jerry was clearly talking about hitting. That's it. That's just
He was not. He said best baseball player. He said it was always Griffey for him. It was always Griffey until it was Judge.
Yeah, and it's clearly Ohtani. And yes, I got a call, and you mentioned Disney. It's funny because I was literally in my car driving to Disney last summer with my family, and Connor Green, producer extraordinaire, you know, fill-in guy, called me and said that a news reporter from Japan wants me to come on the television station that day. And I'm literally driving to Disney in the car, and I'm like, I don't think I can do it. I'm 14 hours away from Orlando. I don't know what I'm going to do. I would have been happy to do it and propose and tell the entire nation that Ohtani is the greatest baseball player of all time.
Oh, that would have been great. The audio of that would have been phenomenal. Just seeing your face pop up on Japanese television. Come on in, Jerry. While we're doing this, why not? Come on in.
Yeah, Jerry. Let Jerry tell you the context of that conversation.
All right, we got to deal with two things with Jerry. First of all, C-Mac is insisting that the conversation was about best hitter he's ever seen and not best baseball player, even though the audio is clear that you say C-Mac, best baseball player you've ever seen.
There were multiple conversations in that segment. At one point, it was best hitter. At another point, it was best player. At that point, I had moved around the room to best player they had ever seen.
Right.
But he is right that we were talking best hitter specifically because I was trying to break down, you know, players I've seen in that in the beginning of it.
Okay.
So he's right and wrong.
All right, so he's right. He could have easily gotten confused, even though the question was that clear.
I worked the overnights for a long time. Sometimes your head's a little foggy.
I got you. I understand.
But it was a pretty clear question.
I'm shooting it with, you know, Fliegelman and Eddie. I'm kind of half listening. All of a sudden, I get, hey, what do you think? And I could have sworn you guys were having a conversation about hitters.
All right, so here's the other thing. We'll leave C-Mac on the line here.
Yeah.
So you never bring up Ohtani or Trout when you say these things because you say you don't see him because they're on the West Coast.
Well, I said Boomer had asked me that once before. I said maybe that's part of it. I don't really watch them very often. That's true.
But then you say Ken Griffey Jr.
Sure.
And his prime years were in Seattle.
Yeah, but I used to pay to go see Griffey when they would come in. Like, he was a guy that I stocked. If you look at my baseball card collection from that time, laugh all you want. I've got pages and pages of Griffey Jr. And he was like Strawberry. Like, I would pay to go watch him play. So that was
like,
a guy.
But how many times a year, though? Like, two, three times?
Yeah, a couple times a year. I've never done that for the other guys. And also, Trout injured way too much. As great as he's been, I can never put him that cover. He doesn't play enough.
But I would say that it sounds like to me you're talking about just baseball player, like the greatest baseball player you've ever seen, like play the game. So there are a couple years of Trout in there that you could say that's the greatest baseball player I've ever seen, regardless of his career.
Well, I'll tell you, there was a 5-year period. Don Mattingly was the best player in baseball and should be in the Hall of Fame because of it. There's a lot of different arguments we can have. What I'm watching from Judge now for the last 6-7 years is insane. Now, the Ohtani thing, I disagree with McMonagle on, because you can tell me all you want about being a baseball player. I've never seen him play the field. Ken Griffey was the most amazing defender, and shut up with the he doesn't throw a pitch, the most amazing defender I've ever seen on a baseball field. And Ohtani hasn't pitched now in a year and a half, and while he was a great pitcher, he's not throwing to an ERA of 1.5. Great hitter. I will not dispute that at all. And in the end, he might end up being the best two-way baseball player we've ever seen, because he's never seen it before. But he's a pitcher. He doesn't play first base. Yeah. Doesn't play center field. He doesn't play the game. He pitches and hits.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Boomer.
Here's the question.
Yeah.
Hello.
You invited me in.
Here's the question.
I did.
Am I still on the line?
Yeah. Hello. Go.
Okay. Yeah, here's the question.
By the way, Brett's right. You talk too much. That's coming.
Brett's right about a lot of things. But if you round up every player who ever played the game and you're picking teams, are you not picking your ace pitcher and your cleanup hitter in one player? If I'm picking teams and I have to pick one player,
I might,
player,
but he's also cost. But he also costs the same as two.
What?
He costs the same as two.
I understand. But we're talking about players. We're not talking about money or salary. We're talking about just flat out the best I've ever seen. If I'm picking a team and I got to win.
But it's a dumb conversation. Hold on. It's
a
dumb
conversation. Time out. And my cleanup hitter.
Yeah, and guess what your pitcher does? Every 5 days, he's not on the field. My center fielder's in the game every day. Every single damn day he impacts a game. Every day. And when the starting pitcher comes out of the game in the sixth inning, the crappy bullpen blows it. So stick it up your ass.
and a center fielder makes two plays a game.
So Boomer,
and a center fielder makes 2-3 plays a game max.
Boomer got up
get back here.
I'm going to the bathroom. So I love this for a couple of reasons. One, both you guys really care about this, and it's a fun conversation. The other reason I love this is Boomer is experiencing what I experience when him and CeeLo go into the depths of the Ranger roster when there's some guy named Schnurkashnev who's playing over in Belarus.
It's true.
Who's dealing with a knee injury. God,
that is so true.
So now he knows. And there were so many times I wanted to get up and leave during those situations, but did not. But he just did.
He did. He left.
Anyway,
he left.
He left.
See, Mac, I love you, my man.
He should stick to football anyway.
Oh, by the way, I know you heard the Brett conversation that we had yesterday, and then today he's going after you again, and you talk too much and all of these things. I'm going to record you and play back all the dumb things you say. Did any part of you hold back because of the conversation that I had with him yesterday?
I don't know about because of the conversation. Maybe a little bit. Maybe the idea that you've labeled him as such a protagonist on purpose, and you've texted me personally and we've talked about it, that he always gets me.
Yeah.
So the idea, for whatever reason, this morning, I just didn't want to let him get me.
Yeah.
And then he says stupid things. He's all over me, like he's going to record me and the dumb things I say. And then he tells me Bernie Williams is better than Aaron Judge. I mean, like, so who's the idiot?
Yeah, the guy has perfected. I know. I mean, there is, and we agree on this. He is so annoying. But and that's why I asked him yesterday. I was like, the friends that you have, do you still talk to any of your friends? He's like, no, not anymore.
Shocking.
There's a combination. There's a reason why. Like he's got, first of all, the tone of his voice is paramount. Then he also will talk over you when you're trying to make a point. So he's not listening to you argue your point. He's just hammering you with his point. That's another really annoying thing. And he's also like disrespectful in the stuff of like, you should do this, you should do that, you talk too much. So he's got all these combinations of things that makes him like an insufferable dick.
And you know what's funny? You mentioned the friend thing. I have a guy, I don't remember his name and I wouldn't call him out anyway, but I have a guy who claims to be someone who used to be his friend who hits me up on Facebook every time he calls, killing Brett.
Yeah.
Like every time he calls, he'll send me a message on Facebook. The guy's the worst. I can't believe you still take his call every time.
I do give you credit for still putting him on, because I wouldn't.
Oh, yeah. Well, sometimes he gets the best out of me.
It's true.
He does, and he got the best out of Sal. One of the funniest lines Sal ever said. He goes, "Don't call again." Actually, don't call and don't listen. It's great. But I think sometimes Brett does try to get under the skin purposely. But I also think that that's just him. Like, I think genuinely that's the type of person he is in his real life. I'm thinking about maybe next summer when things are really slow, like having him in studio and I swear to God, I need to learn what made this man. I need to, and then just argue with him about all sorts of things. Just like an hour of just when Boomer's off, I just bring him in and we're going to argue about everything.
It surprises me you want to do that because you're big on not letting people get their thing. Like, you text me all the time, "Oh, why do you still take his call?" Or
but there's a difference.
And you don't like the idea if you give them what they want. I mean, this would be the epitome of giving his soul what he wants.
It's yes and no, because I told you, I feel like he's not an actor. Sometimes he'll go a little over the top depending on his mood, but he's not an actor. Like, he's genuine. He reminds me of, like, maybe what, and not as combative, but like what made Joe Beningo the caller that stood out. Like, every time he calls, you're like, "Jesus Christ, buckle up." You know, like one of those things.
See, I turn it off.
See, that's different.
As C-Mac goes to him, I'm gone.
Well, I turn it off when I hear Omar. I turn off Omar because it's the same. But that's the thing with Omar. It's the same thing. It's like it starts slow, gets heavy. Like, with Brett, I'm like, what is the thing that he's going to do now? And he gets everybody. He's so good. Like, think about all the calls we have taken over the years. Each one of us, when Brett calls, gets so pissed off.
You want to
skill?
You want to hear this latest one, 20 seconds? It's 20 seconds.
All right, yeah, let's go.
Oh, my man, Brett in Long Island after his morning show debut. What's going on, Brett?
Oh, my God, Chris, you talk so much.
I know. Isn't that, that's kind of like, it is a talk show.
I know, but you talk so much.
All right, hold on. Ready? Hold on, you're right. Hold on, ready?
Chris? Chris, you there?
You're right, that's much more interesting.
That was handled very well.
That was very funny.
Yeah, that was very funny. So, yeah, I know, you're right. It sounds a little hypocritical, C-Mac, but the difference is that I don't think that Brett thinks he's playing the hosts. Whereas the Buchanan guy is playing the hosts. I think that Brett sometimes will dial it up because he's bored, but I think genuinely to his core, he is that a-hole. And that's the thing I want to investigate. You know what I'm saying?
You got to find out how one becomes such an a-hole.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And like how he's losing his friends over his Daniel Jones takes. It's fascinating to me. He lives in Yapank, like by himself with no friends. Yeah. Because of his horrible sports takes and how annoying he is.
Yeah.
All right, C-Mac.
I can see that. All right, but yes.
I will I'll listen to you tomorrow morning.
My honor was being questioned, so I had to call in.
Very good. Very good. Get back to the family, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. This is Chris McMonagle. So we like to let people have their platform here. We call them out.
Absolutely.
Let them on. You let them on. All right. Boomer has returned.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, that was a good NARPian discussion there. That was great.
If it wasn't for us NARPians and NARPs, you athletes wouldn't make the money you make.
I know. I get it. I'm a fan as well. I pay my bills.
That's right.
Yeah,
Mr. Ranger.
Yes.
Yeah, damn right. We got a really, really good Jerry stick it up your ass there, too, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, we do, yeah.
That was lost in all of that. That was lost.
That's what I said I had to get out of here.
We got
Jerry's getting way too passionate over this.
That is a, you know, I believe it was a clean stick it up your ass.
Oh, boy.
I'm excited to hear that again. All right, it's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Get Jerry's update coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
You know, I got something for you. We actually get a lot of things sent to us.
Yeah.
Today is kind of show and tell day, I think.
Okay.
Because things started to build up in my office, and I had to get some of the stuff out of my office. So I just figured I'd give you this letter and let you open it.
Okay. This is from Keith Warhala.
I think Warhala or Warhola, yeah.
Warhala from Manhasset.
Yeah.
Come on.
You don't like it?
Come on. All right. I'm going to show it to the CBS Sports Network audience. This man did a Photoshop of me and Boomer. As Boomer as Donald Trump and me as J.D. Vance.
Oh, boy.
And here it is. Here. On CBS Sports Network.
Oh, my God. That's close.
Yeah, I know. It's not bad.
Oh, my God.
It's not bad. And this guy, very good. He's got the Boomer and Geo logo on the back there. And it's got Boomer and Geo make sports radio great again 2024. That's what he's got there.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see the Evan and Tiki Kamala Harris and whoever she picked. I forget his name already.
Tim Walz.
Tim Walz. Yeah, yes. That'll be the Evan and Tiki.
Right.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah.
Man, that's a good photo.
It is a good photo, too. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Damn.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe we should put it right there.
You got anything else you want to save?
I can give you, let's see. We got a bunch of things.
So
I mean, I know Jerry's got an update.
Yeah, we'll save it. We'll save it the next segment, and we'll get to Jerry's update right now.
Brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
So stick it up your ass.
See?
Yankees White Sox. So last hour we heard Emmanuel Babari, the 300th home run for Aaron Judge. I went and found the call in Chicago to see what it would have sounded like if you were listening to WMVP on White Sox radio.
3-0, hammered deep left, and it's gone into the bullpen. And Aaron Judge just hit his 300th Major League homer.
He did, and a 10-2 win for the Yankees. I was also listening to the Soto at-bat, you know, when they walked him. It was interesting, too. Those guys were like, you know, let's pick your poison. Do you go right-hander against Soto, who's on fire, or do you just take your chances righty on righty and hope? And, well, 3-0, he's swinging, and he crushes
it. So that's basically Juan Soto protecting Aaron Judge, is what you could say. And it came to fruition while people were saying that you should be switching them in the batting order.
Well, it still could work that way, of course, sure. But in this case, it helped out both of them. I mean, Judge gets to hit, and Soto gets on base, and Judge gets the home run and the extra RBI. So worked, and the Yankees go to 72-50. Here was Judge on happy to make them pay for that intentional walk.
I was mad about the intentional walk, so that kind of fueled it. Usually 3-0, I'll take a pitch, see a pitch, you know, kind of, you know, pass it on to the next guy. But in that situation, if, you know, they want to pitch to you, you gotta come through.
And he did, and just...
That would have been ball four up and in,
I agree. That's why the pitch he hits is ridiculous. And gets that bat around. Just 3 seconds of Aaron Boone reacting to them walking Soto.
Wow. That definitely caught us off guard.
It did, but not Judge, who hits the home run. Oswaldo Cabrera, he scored from second on a fly ball as he tagged up and got two bases on it. He was with Susan after the game. She tells him or reminds him, whatever the case might be, that you are the first Yankee to tag up and score from second on a fly ball since Jorge Posada did it.
That's really amazing, and even more for Posada. Posada and me can run the same speed, so we can show that we can run.
I think it was 2000, if I read it correctly. Wow. Yeah, so that's a long time in between seeing something like that. Also of note, Austin Wells, by the way, don't want to forget this. The game was tied in the seventh. He had the go-ahead two-run single.
That guy, man, he's had a hell of a season.
Done a nice job. Yep, done a nice job.
I mean, look, they put him in a cleanup spot, and he's come through. I mean, that you want to talk about a guy that I would say is a surprise? I would say he's the guy in the lineup that has been the biggest surprise. Would you not agree?
He's done a nice job. I would agree.
Okay, yep. Thank you for agreeing.
I would agree. Yankees are off today in Detroit over the weekend. They remain a half game ahead of Baltimore because the Orioles beat the Nationals by the score of 4-1. All right, head over to Citi Field. The Mets were riding a four-game losing streak. They got swept away in Seattle. Open up the series with the A's, as we know, with a big fat dud, losing, 9-4, I guess. So they come back last night. They get a run with an RBI double in the second, a Mark Vientos RBI double. Then it was Francisco Lindor who homered in the third, and then in the fourth.
Deals home, and Pete sends a high smash in the air to left. Cameron going back, looking up. Oh, this one way out. Gone off the facing of the second deck in left center. Second Mets home run of the night. For Pete, it's number 26.
And that was Keith Rann on WCBS 880.
And not to get into the weeds with the play-by-play stuff, but you can hear the Howie influence on the Keith Rann calls. I think that Keith Rann is sounding so much better this year. Okay. I think he sounds really good, and I think that sitting next to Howie helps that.
How could it not, right?
Yeah, I mean, it just really, of course. So he's, I think... Of all these young guys we've listened to, Keith Rad's starting to distinguish himself a little bit.
And here was Carlos Mendoza. So the home run from Pete, but that's just part of it. He went 4-for-4, also doubled. Signs, maybe, of things to come?
The past couple of games, past week, probably go back to that game in Colorado. You know, you saw some signs there yesterday and even today, obviously, with the big game. So that's good to see.
But can he keep it up? We will find out. Here was Alonso.
Yeah, I'm just happy to capitalize on stuff in the zone and not foul off good pitches and not chase. So looking to continue.
And see if he can. That was on SNY on the field afterwards. David Peterson, 6 1/3. He's 7-1 now. He knew big game, had to have it.
It was a great team win. It's fun to see the offense come alive and just do what we know they can do. And it's good being on the same page with Alvy. We had a plan, and we were able to execute it.
And he gets an ERA 3.04 with the job he did last night. Mets stay 2 behind Atlanta. The Braves hammered the Giants 13-2. One other thing, I was talking to Mike in the warm-up show about this. The 4-1 Yankee game the other day, the home plate umpire, 173 of 174 pitches called correctly.
Wow.
Of takes, not obviously.
Who was it? You remember?
Was it Gabe Morales? That sound right? He's on the phone. I think it was Gabe Morales, I think, was the
good for Gabe.
Home plate umpire. Yes. Yeah,
good for pointing that out,
that
Jerry.
Is a crazy number.
We never point out the good officiating or umpiring. And this was a good one.
We do. Last hour, you heard the grand slam in San Francisco for the Braves beating the Giants. Well, how about in Philly, where the Phillies have really hit the skids? They've lost 4 in a row. Haven't played well. They were losing to the Marlins.
As Edward Cabrera kicks and deals in the pitch, swung on, hit in the air, left field. Going back on it is Stowers at the wall. It's gone! And he has turned it around with one swing of the bat.
And that was Phillies radio. Kyle Schwarber, the grand slam in Philadelphia. They would go on to a 9-5 win and put the clamps on that losing streak. And just quickly, the Padres beat the Pirates. Notable because they are, we've talked about in San Diego, racing into the wild card. They are 19-3 in their last 22 games.
That's how you do it.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty good. All right, I played the Brett stuff already, so I saw this. I don't know if you did or not, but on ESPN, Christopher Russo was doing his thing. This was something he had to get off his chest. Now, I want you to keep in mind as you listen to this, he's on stage with three beautiful lady hosts that are there as well, and he yells at them as he is talking about Team USA basketball.
I am sick of this USA basketball on the men's side making a big deal about winning a gold medal.
Oh, come on,
Stephon Curry putting people to sleep. It's a 10-day tournament.
That was the great Stephon.
Oh, come down.
Stephon.
They are at whatever his name is.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Shut up. Who the hell are you? I've been doing this for 40 years. Don't correct me on how to pronounce names. I always pronounce names properly. Molly Kanalas. Yeah, you. And the Philadelphia Eagles running back, Shaquan Swaquan Barkley. And then Nikola Jokic. Stephon Curry, just leave it alone. Zip it.
He goes on to say they were supposed to win.
They play six games, and you know what they were favored? You know what they were favored in a gold medal game? By 16 points. They got a million Hall of Famers on this team. And then Durant is tweeting after the game, look at me with all these gold medals.
And he's on the slide.
And tweeting, oh, calm down, guys. Calm down.
I told you once, I'll tell you. Just shut up and make me some lunch. Make yourself useful. Slap some meat on some bread or something over there. Get another cup of coffee. I'm talking. I'm talking.
Oh, yeah. So that was on ESPN.
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. The Patriots trade Matthew Judon to the Falcons for a third-round draft pick, and then one from Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell. J.J. McCarthy will indeed miss the season because of knee surgery. Talked about that last hour. This hour, though, he's talking about what is to come, and that's going to be Sam Darnold. He is going to get the full opportunity here.
Our football team is excited about this season. Our football team has been and will continue to be excited about Sam Darnold and what he's been able to bring. Great 2 days of work here for him this week before we continue on with our preparations for the opener.
All right. What's interesting now is you have guys like Ryan Tannehill who still haven't signed a contract.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
Right? It is interesting. And all of a sudden, here's one of these rookie quarterbacks going down. You know there are going to be other guys going down. And you got to wonder, you know, you look at the quarterback room now out in Minnesota. How comfortable are you with it?
Hear me out
on Sam Darnold, all right? This is a guy who, in the last time we really saw him play in Carolina, he had a few games stretch there where he looked really good on a terrible team, and he was playing very well. He spent a year. So this is one of the things I guarantee you they will say about Sam Darnold when he starts playing well in the first couple games of the season. He spent a year in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan and sat there and watched that and learned and practiced. Now he's getting another offensive coach that has done a really good job with this offense and with quarterbacks and Kevin O'Connell. And he's got arguably a top five group of weapons in the league. Now, the Vikings are not a good team, but you talk about Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, who had his injury scare yesterday, Aaron Jones and T.J. Hockenson, and hopefully a better offensive line. And indoors, if you're not set up to succeed now, Sam, hang him up. Because this is the moment he needs to capture.
The question is the line play.
Yeah, of course.
Right place, right time, you know. And Kevin O'Connell is a really good coach, and he knows how to get people open. And it's really going to require, you know, accuracy. He's got to be calm. He can't be throwing the ball over everybody's heads or into their feet. So, I mean,
watch Sam, man. Watch him.
All right. We'll be watching him.
Watch him.
We'll watch him opening game.
Go make me a sandwich.
Listen, I don't know where they rounded you guys up from. I have no idea. But be quiet. Shh. Shh. Hey. Shh.
Oh, boy. More from the NFL next hour.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Built Ford Tough studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this summer Thursday morning. Is it hazy out there because of these wildfires that was going on?
I think so. I think there's a little bit of that coming from Western Canada, yes.
Again, these Canadians and these fires, man.
Yeah.
And that happened last year, right?
Yes, it did. Yes.
Screwing up our summer and our beautiful skies.
We also have a hurricane out in the Atlantic.
Yes, that's right.
Ernesto, I believe.
Ernesto.
Yes.
Yes, Ernesto is.
A lot of weather stuff going on right now.
It's turning on the weather. A natural disaster. He loves.
I don't love a natural disaster, but I was watching the weather.
You going like a natural disaster.
When you watch the Weather Channel, I forget which one I was watching yesterday. Man, they were all excited. I mean, like, hey, Bermuda's going to get smashed. I'm like, okay.
I know it is. It really is sort of. Now, I get the passion that they have because when you see a weather event like this and you're a weather person, it's sort of like watching your team win the World Series. But, you know, there's people, there's lives are going to be overturned fired up about it.
They're also trying to warn people that, you know, this is a big event. Don't take it lightly. And, you know, they're trying to, but the excitement and the exuberance in which they are describing the size of the hurricane. This is going to be a Cat 3. And then the other day I was watching another Weather Channel. I don't know why.
Because you love a natural disaster.
We have had 27 tornadoes hit the ground in New York, the state of New York, which is the most since like 2007 or something.
Wow. Yeah, I've always said if I could guarantee the safety of me and whoever was around me.
Yes.
I would love to see a F5 or giant, just a large tornado. I'd love to see that with my own two eyes.
Go out to Oklahoma.
Yeah, I don't really want to do that. Maybe and at some point in my life, you know, ride along with a storm chaser, an experienced storm chaser. But I would love to see. I actually have tornado dreams a lot. A lot of tornado dreams. Nice. I got to watch this new Twister that's out there, too. Because I love it.
Yeah, I think you
maybe
do.
Maybe I do. Maybe I'm projecting.
I'm not nearly as much in. I don't look forward to like trying to go through a natural disaster as we saw what happened when we got hit back in 2012. I mean, come on. Nobody wants that.
No, nobody wants that. Of course, and we
and
did.
Even in 2020, in Manhasset, I swear to God, there had to be a tornado hit the ground, and I remember because I was trying to set up the home, studio so I could do the show.
Right.
And that day, what was the name of that? Isaiah, I think it was.
Yeah.
And that came right down the street that I live on.
Mm-hmm. And Manhasset got tore up.
It did get tore up.
Yeah, that was not good.
That's why I had to come back into the studio.
Yeah, that was part of the reason, right?
Yeah, no, I came back into the studio. Me and Eddie were here.
That's right. Damn, but Eddie was here the whole time.
Eddie's a man.
He also didn't have a choice, but yes, the whole time. By the way, I see that Deion Sanders and CBS are feuding with one another.
Well, there's a reason that Deion is probably not happy with CBS.
All right, let's ask Stephen Waldron of CBS. Stephen, CBS Sports, why does Deion Sanders have a problem with CBS?
I'm going to refer to Boomer on this one.
Oh, really? You don't know? You work there. I mean, you're there behind the scenes. You have no idea?
I
mean, it's a huge story.
I believe it was because an article was published about his son that he wasn't happy about.
He's right.
Okay. Oh, see, you did know.
He did know, yes. The whole time.
I know a lot of things.
You know a lot of things?
Yes, I just choose not to say it on national television.
let us walk ourselves right into it.
Sure.
There's a bankruptcy case going on with Deion's son, Shiloh. And I think it was a CBS Sports.com reporter who wrote an article.
Okay.
And I think that they probably thought it was going to be some sort of puff piece, but it wasn't.
Okay.
And so Deion is basically taking it out on whoever writes for CBS, who's ever covering Colorado and doesn't do anybody any favors. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, your son's in a situation where he's declared bankruptcy at the age of 20 or 21 or whatever, how old he is, for whatever reason. I have not looked into it. I have no idea why.
Yeah.
But I do know that there was an article that was written that, you know, was not as glowing as I think that they thought it was going to be. And I think that's one of the reasons why. And this is a tough spot for Deion. Why? Because he is the father of the kid that's being written about.
That is true.
I think if you were just the coach of the kid that was being written about, it might be a little bit of a different story.
Yeah, and the clip is here. I don't know, Fleegs, if you can find it quickly on X of CBS. It's basically, if you search Coach Prime has not taken any questions from CBS, if you just put that into the bar, you might be able to find it. But he did, the reporters from CBS Denver.
He's like, I'm, you know, whatever from CBS Denver. And he's like, no. He's like, I'm not answering any questions from CBS. And then he said it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with CBS, but I'm still going to punish you for it. But yeah, it's a tricky spot. I mean, the fact that Deion Sanders still is looked at as some sort of college football savior at this point, who is going to go on to bigger and better things, is amazing to me.
Yeah, well,
he's proven nothing as a head coach.
Well, he did
there.
It to HBC, right?
No, that's the bank.
No,
HBCU.
HBCU.
Yes.
He did a great job, and he put them on the map, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. So I have to give him a ton of credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
And Colorado saw an opportunity to bring in somebody who's got flair, who's got, you know, promotional value.
I don't blame Colorado.
No, but I'm just
move.
Saying. But I, you know, then there are all these stories now about unhappy players
mm-hmm.
who have gone there and say that it's completely out of control. So the question is, you know, they have a much easier schedule this year. He's got his son in the Heisman Trophy race, and that's Shador Sanders, who may be a top five draft pick next year.
That is right.
It's a little bit of a. It feels disorganized to me.
Cluster F, is that what you're going for?
That's what it feels like, especially from the people that are disappointed in what has gone on there when they were there as players and then had left.
All right, let's listen to Deion talk about this CBS situation.
Yeah. Eric Christensen with CBS Sports Colorado.
CBS, Tyler, I'm not doing nothing with CBS. Next question.
Joe Rigo, my last
I ain't got nothing to do with you. It's above that. I ain't got nothing to do with you. I got love for you. I appreciate you, respect you. I ain't got nothing to do with you. They know what they did.
I'm here in Denver, not national.
You are who you are. CBS is CBS.
All right.
Joe, we got nothing to do with
you. I respect you. That's why I told you that. I'm looking you in the eye as a man. I respect you. I got love for you. But what they did was foul.
What they did was foul.
So it has to do with an article that was
right,
written.
They believed that it was going to be one thing, and it ended up being another thing. And trust was broken, apparently.
Yeah, I guess it's Shiloh Sanders' bankruptcy case. Attorney says Colorado DB cannot wait to share his side of the story. That's the headline of the article that I think is on CBSSports.com.
Okay.
And I have not read that article, but I think it has a lot to do with what's ever in that article.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, I think CBS does have Colorado on their air. And, you know, and it would be behoove, I would think, Deion, that, you know, you want to be covered in a good light, not in a bad light. Why would you want to in any way sever a relationship that is going to promote your product?
Yeah, of course.
You got to deal with it. You got to deal with the good and the bad. And, you know, and your kids are going to have to deal with the good and the bad. If they're going to be professional football players like you were, you know, they got to learn how to handle all this.
You know what Deion's not doing?
What is Deion not doing?
He's not seeing the forest for the trees.
Or the big picture.
That's right.
Yes.
All right, it's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this summer Thursday morning. Is it hazy out there because of these wildfires that was going on?
I think so. I think there's a little bit of that coming from Western Canada, yes.
Again, these Canadians and these fires, man.
Yeah.
And that happened last year, right?
Yes, it did. Yes.
Screwing up our summer and our beautiful skies.
We also have a hurricane out in the Atlantic.
Yes, that's right.
Ernesto, I believe.
Ernesto.
Yes.
Yes, Ernesto is...
a lot of weather stuff going on right now.
He's turning on the weather channel. Natural disaster. He loves
I don't love a natural disaster,
yes,
but I was watching the weather.
You going like a natural disaster!
When you watch the weather channel, I forget which one I was watching yesterday. Man, they were all excited.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I mean, like, hey, Bermuda's going to get smashed. I'm like, okay.
I know it is. It really is sort of... Now, I get the passion that they have because when you see a weather event like this and you're a weather person, it's sort of like watching your team win the World Series. But, you know, there's people, their lives are going to be overturned fired up about it.
They're also trying to warn people that, you know, this is a big event. Don't take it lightly. And... You know, they're trying to, but the excitement and the exuberance in which they are describing the size of the hurricane. This is going to be a Cat 3. And then the other day I was watching another Weather Channel. I don't know why.
Because you love a natural disaster.
We have had 27 tornadoes hit the ground in New York, the state of New York, which is the most since like 2007 or something. Like
wow.
That.
Yeah, I've always said if I could guarantee the safety of me and whoever was around me.
Yes.
I would love to see a F5 or giant, just a large tornado. I'd love to see that with my own two eyes.
Go out to Oklahoma.
Yeah, I don't really want to do that.
All right.
Maybe and at some point in my life, you know, ride along with a storm chaser, an experienced storm chaser. But I would love to see. I actually have tornado dreams a lot. A lot of tornado dreams. Nice. I got to watch this new Twister that's out there, too. Because I love it. Maybe I love a natural disaster.
Yeah, I think you
maybe
do.
Maybe I do. Maybe I'm projecting.
I'm not nearly as much in, I don't look forward to like trying to go through a natural disaster as we saw what happened when we got hit back in 2012. I mean, come on. Nobody wants that.
No, nobody wants that. Of course. And
even in 2020, in Manhasset, I swear to God, there had to be a tornado hit the ground, and I remember because I was trying to set up the home, studio so I could do the show.
Right.
And that day, what was the name of that? Isaiah, I think it was.
Yeah.
And that came right down the street that I live on.
Mm-hmm. And Manhasset got tore up.
It did get tore up.
Yeah, that was not good.
That's why I had to come back into the studio.
Yeah, that was part of the reason, right?
Yeah, no, I came back into the studio. Me and Eddie were here.
That's right. Damn, but Eddie was here the whole time.
Eddie's a man. Eddie's a man.
He also didn't have a choice, but yes, the whole time. By the way, I see that Deion Sanders and CBS are feuding with one another.
Well, there's a reason that Deion is probably not happy with CBS.
All right, let's ask Stephen Waldron of CBS. Stephen, CBS Sports, why does Deion Sanders have a problem with CBS?
I'm going to refer to Boomer on this one.
Oh, really? You don't know? You work there. I mean, you're there behind the scenes. You have no idea? I mean, it's a huge story.
I believe it was because an article was published about his son that he wasn't happy about.
He's right.
Okay. Oh, see, you did know.
He did know, yes. The whole
time. I know a lot of things.
You know a lot of things?
Yes, I just choose not to say it on national television.
let us walk ourselves right into it.
Sure.
There's a bankruptcy case going on with Deion's son, Shiloh. And I think it was a CBSSports.com reporter who wrote an article.
Okay.
And I think that they probably thought it was going to be some sort of puff piece, but it wasn't.
Okay.
And so Deion is basically taking it out on whoever writes for CBS, who's ever covering Colorado and doesn't do anybody any favors. You know what I mean? It's like, your son's in a situation where he's declared bankruptcy at the age of 20 or 21 or whatever, how old he is, for whatever reason. I have not looked into it. I have no idea why.
Yeah.
But I do know that there was an article that was written that, you know, was not as glowing as I think that they thought it was going to be. And I think that's one of the reasons why. And this is a tough spot for Deion. Why? Because he is the father of the kid that's being written about.
That is true.
I think if you were just the coach of the kid that was being written about, it might be a little bit of a different story.
Yeah, and the clip is here. I don't know, Fleegs, if you can find it quickly on X of CBS. It's basically, if you search Coach Prime is not taking any questions from CBS, if you just put that into the bar, you might be able to find it. But he did. This is for the reporters from CBS Denver. He's like, whatever, from CBS Denver. And he's like, no. He's like, I'm not answering any questions from CBS. And then he said it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with CBS, but I'm still going to punish you for it. But yeah, it's a tricky spot. I mean, the fact that Deion Sanders still is looked at as some sort of college football savior at this point, who is going to go on to bigger and better things, is amazing to me.
Yeah, well,
he's proven nothing as a head coach.
Well, he did
there.
It to HSBC, right?
No, that's the bank.
No, HBCU.
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 Yes.
he did a great job, and he put them on the map, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. So I have to give him I give him a ton of credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
And Colorado saw an opportunity to bring in somebody who's got flair, who's got, you know, promotional value.
I don't blame Colorado.
No, no, but I'm just saying, but I, you know, then there are all these stories now about unhappy players who have gone there and say that it's completely out of control. So the question is, you know, they have a much easier schedule this year. He's got his son in the Heisman Trophy race, and that's Shedeur Sanders, who may be a top five draft pick next year.
That is right.
You know, it's a little bit of a it feels disorganized to me.
Cluster F? Is that what you're going for?
That's what it feels like, especially from the people that are disappointed in what has gone on there when they were there as players and then had left.
All right, let's listen to Dion talk about this CBS situation.
Yeah. Eric Christensen with CBS Sports Colorado.
CBS, Tyler. I'm not doing nothing with CBS. Next question.
Joe Rigo, my last
I ain't got nothing to do with you. It's above that. I ain't got nothing to do with you. I got love for you. I appreciate you, respect you. I ain't got nothing to do with you. They know what they did.
I'm here in Denver, not national.
You are who you are. CBS is CBS.
All right.
Joe Rigo, my life's with you. I respect you. That's why I told you that. I'm looking you in the eye as a man. I respect you. I got love for you. But what they did was foul.
What they did was foul.
So it has to do with an article that was
right,
written.
They believed that it was going to be one thing, and it ended up being another thing. And trust was broken, apparently.
Yeah, I guess it's Shiloh Sanders' bankruptcy case. Attorney says Colorado DB cannot wait to share his side of the story. That's the headline of the article that I think is on CBSSports.com.
Okay.
And I have not read that article, but I think it has a lot to do with what's ever in that article.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, I think CBS does have Colorado on their air. And, you know, and it would be behoove, I would think, Dion, that, you know, you want to be covered in a good light, not in a bad light. Why would you want to in any way sever a relationship that is going to promote your product?
Yeah, of course.
You got to deal with it. You got to deal with the good and the bad. And, you know, your kids are going to have to deal with the good and the bad. If they're going to be professional football players like you were, you know, they got to learn how to handle all this.
You know what Dion's not doing?
What is Dion not doing?
He's not seeing the forest for the trees.
Or the big picture.
That's right.
Yes.
All right, it's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.